to come to the mission." Otto waved his hand gently as the dwarfs began to sing. "No, I am well on top of it, thank you all the same," he said. "We know what all this is about, don't we? It was a mob, yes? There is always a mob sooner or later. They got my friend Boris. He showed them the black ribbon, but they just laughed and—"
"I think they were after all of us," said William. "I wish I'd had a chance to ask him a few questions, even so."
"You mean, like, is this the first time you've strangled anyone?" said Bodney. "Or how old are you, Mr. Killer?"
Something started to cough. It seemed to be coming from the pocket of the man's jacket. William looked around at the stunned dwarfs to see if anyone else had a clue about what it was he should do next. Then he reluctantly patted the greasy suit with extreme care and pulled out a slim, polished box. He opened it. A small green imp peered out of its slot.
"Hm?"
it said.
"What?"
"A personal disorganizer," said William.
"A killer with a personal disorganizer?" "The things to do today section is going to be interesting, then," said Bodney.
The imp blinked at him.
"Do you want me to reply or not?"
it said.
"Insert name here. Requested silence, despite my range of sounds, to suit any mood or occasion."
"Your previous owner is previous," said William, looking down at the cooling Mr. Pin.
"You're a new owner," said the imp.
"Well, possibly."
"Congratulations," said the imp. "Warranty not applicable if said device is sold, hired, transferred, gifted or stolen, unless in original packaging and extraneous materials, which by then you will have thrown away, and part two of the warranty card which you have lost has been filled in and sent to scores and quoting the reference number, which you did not in fact make a note of. Do you want me to wipe the contents of my memory?"
It produced a cotton wool bud and prepared to insert it into one very large ear.
"Erase memory, Y stroke N."
"Your memory?"
"Yes, erase memory, Y stroke N."
"N," said William.
"And now, tell me what exactly it is you are remembering," he added. "You have to press the recall button," said the imp impatiently.
"And that will do what?"
"A small hammer hits me on the head, and I look to see what button you pressed."
"Why don't you just, well, recall?"
"Look, I don't make the rules. You've got to press the button. It's in the manual."
William carefully pushed the box to one side. There were several velvet bags in the dead man's pocket. He put these on the desk too. Some of the dwarfs had gone a little way down the iron ladder into the cellar. Bodney climbed back out again, looking thoughtful.
"There's a man down there," he said, "lying in lead."
"Dead?" said William, looking carefully at the bags.
"I hope so. I really hope so. You could say he made a bit of an impression. He's a bit on the cooked side. And there's an arrow through his head."
"William, you realise that you are robbing a corpse?" said Saccharissa.
"Good," said William distantly.
"Best time."
He upended a bag and jewels spilled across the charred wood. There was a strangled noise from Goodmountain. Next to gold, jewels were a dwarf's best friend. William emptied the other bags.
"How much do you think this lot is worth?" he said, when the gems stopped rolling and twinkling.
Goodmountain had already whipped an eyeglass from an inside pocket and was inspecting a few of the larger stones.
"What? Eh? Oh, tens of thousands. Could be 100,000. Could be a lot more. This one here is worth 1,500, I reckon, and it's not the best of them."
"He must have stolen them," said Saccharissa.
"No," said William calmly. "We'd have heard about a theft this big. We hear about things. A young man would certainly have told you. Check to see if he has a wallet, will you?"
"The very idea. And what—"
"Check for a damn wallet, will you?" said William. "This is a story. I'm going to check his legs, and I'm not looking forward to that either. But this is a story. We can have hysterics later. Do it, please."
There was a half-healed bite on the dead man's leg. William rolled up his own trouser leg for comparison, while Saccharissa, her eyes averted, pulled a brown leather wallet out of the jacket.
"Any clue to who he is?" said William, carefully measuring tooth marks with his pencil.
His mind felt strangely calm. He wondered if he was actually thinking at all. It all seemed like some dream happening in another world.
"There's something done on the leather in poker work," said Saccharissa.